listen, thanks for joining in with us. I take it personally and in a good way, obviously. And I want to thank you for taking your time to be here. So what we wanted to get into tonight is circumstances and things. Circumstances not being generic, circumstances in like very definite things. The things we ever talk about faith, they're never from a sense of, you know, denying that something exists. I don't believe that's there. I don't believe that's there. That's not faith. We're talking about faith or a confidence in God that we decide to, on purpose, put in someone else who has given us a reason to trust him and given us solid things about his character as a reason to trust him. And only he could do it to by means of having beginning an instant trust and then developing an ever increasingly stronger trust, an ever increasingly stronger confidence in him. And he's the best friend we could ever have. And he's really good at this. That's one thing I'm reminding myself right now. He's really, really, really good at helping us out and helping our confidence in him to grow and to develop and to become where it needs to be to get results. He's the best friend we could ever have. And you know what? We're trusting our best friend to keep his word in our life. We're trusting someone to do what they say and come through on it without, you know, doing a whole lot of wasted effort and stress in our life to try to, quote, you know, make him do it or help him do it or, you know, help him make up his mind. Listen, he's already made up his mind about what he wants to do. And he's already made up his mind and decided that we are his very best friends. And he wants to help us and do so many things for us if we'll cooperate and allow him to do it. Amen. So that's wonderful news. I want to use this scripture, and this is what the Lord gave me before we got started tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it to you. You're listening by recording. Go ahead, mark it down, take a look at it, put your eyes on it. But it says this, this second letter, you know, referring to the first one that he wrote. But think about what a letter is. A letter is a collection of words, a collection of thoughts and intentions. Words are doing what? Words are conveying images. Words are communicating a perspective, imagery, content. Okay? We're not trying to be overly technical, but we want to give a perspective on this. And he says, this is the second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you in both, talking about this one and the last one, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He said, which I, using in these letters, their intent, their mission was, I desire to, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The definition of stir up implies to wake up, to arouse from sleep, to shake off slumber. when my little boy, my oldest son, I still call him my little boy, but when he had to get up at the, what do they call it, 0 dark 30 to go to school, and when we were in a different school system in the South, down in Texas, and I had to get up before him so I could be functional. I had to get up and splash water on my face and be like, bro. But what would I do? I would let the water get really nice and cold, and I'd dunk my head in it and my face and come, what am I doing? I'm arising. I'm shaking off sleep. I'm waking up my systems and shaking off a state of slumber. He's not saying it accusatory. He's not saying it judgmentally. And one thing we need to hear and be reminded of, when God is communicating his words to you and he's getting his message to you, we can be preconditioned by darkness and a judgmental atmosphere to think that, oh, here we go. We're wrong again. No. This is God reminding you something good. Don't take that track with it. Don't take it as a personal attack against you. He's sending you something good to refresh your thinking, to remind you. What is the word remind? To reorient your mind. These words were to wake up their minds, to remind them, to get them back in. Now get this, get them back in the right mindset, the right approach, the right way of thinking about something. See what I'm saying? And I was thinking about, I work out with a coach. Now he lives in Colorado and I live in Tennessee, but he'll send me the programming of, you know, all my sessions, you know, for sometimes 2 and 3 weeks out. And he'll give me the details and the videos and, you know, what we're doing and what we're, and listen, some of them, they're kind of long sessions. Like, man, we're going into the, you know, an hour and 15 minutes and we're still going. Well, what's the secret to making it through? I found for me personally, examine what we're going to be doing, but don't get lost in all of it. Just take it one thing at a time and be excited about it. Okay, we're starting off with these particular one leg side to side squats. Well, let's not look to the next six things. Let's just take it one thing at a time. You know what I mean? He's not doing this to punish me. He's not doing this to be mean. It's just, that's the work to get done. We're just going to address it one thing at a time. Listen, God's not sending you words or sending you a message to make you feel bad. That's not how he operates. He does nothing to ever condemn or to, now he will convict someone by reminding them of the truth. He uses the positive to get our attention. Now he may, illuminate us, like shine some light on the negative, but it's always with the intent to take us positive, to take us to get more of his love in our life, to get more of his goodness in our life. You can't get more open wide and embrace and get more of his goodness and more of his mercy and more of his love and more of his attention. Well, you already have his attention. You know, his intentional blessing in our life. If we're shrinking and drawing away or out of shame or having a bad grumpy attitude or being, you know, man, I'm just getting picked on again. No. God's sending you words to help you open up and cooperate and to shake off the tired, slumbery, day in, day out, passive aggressive, sometimes not even passive, just aggressively negative world vibe. We'll just call it that, the worldly vibe. You know what I'm saying? Another word for a remembrance, another statement, another definition for remembrance is that he uses here to put you, to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance is also to remind quietly. Not sarcastically. Listen, tone and approach and rapport is everything to God. He's not reminding you something backhandedly like, hey, it'd be nice if you remember this. You know, he's never sarcastic with us. He's never, he never makes us feel small. Now, listen, if he showed up in physical form, we saw him with our naked eye, we would all be in the floor with our faces pasted to the carpet and like, wow, you're awesome. And I feel very mortal right now because he's just amazing. But he never does anything as a flex against us. I'm the God and you're the created being. So you bend in. Listen, no, that's not how he rolls. That's not love. Love isn't, what does 1 Corinthians say? Love isn't brash. It doesn't brag. It doesn't, you know, all those things that it lists off. Well, if it's describing love, it's describing him. No, he's getting us words to remind us, hey, you're my best friend and I want to be good to you today. Oh yeah. Thank you. I remember that. Hey, we can have a good day today. I've had people, and I've thought it and felt it before. And I knew those were warning signs. Thank God he helped me get enough training to know this, but I've had people say like, what do I have to be thankful about? Oh, plenty. We're still alive. We're still above ground drawing breath. Each one of us only gets about this much time in natural world history to be here. And we only get one shot at it. We only get one small segment of time. And it's good to think about it like, hey, I'm still alive. I'm still here. God loves me and I love him. And he's still with me and I'm still with him. There's plenty to be thankful about if we'll remember it. If we'll be reminded quietly about it. Another definition for the word remembrance is to suggest to the memory, to supply a new thought to the memory, to put in the mind. Listen, go a couple hours just focusing on everyday natural, secular things, and you can begin to get dragged down. One thing I have to continually keep a tight rein on is how much news I let be in my sight. I can be done with a time of prayer and just hanging out with God. He's our best friend. You can hang out with him anytime you want. And then open, you know, a browser window or a news app and look at it. And all of a sudden begin to feel angry and down and negative and grit your teeth and anxious. What's going on? There's a whole bunch of new stuff being put in my mind. And they're not being suggested to my memory quietly. They're being crammed into our thinking and crammed into our thoughts. Listen, Jesus said this when he was at the Last Supper with his disciples. Make a note of this if you're taking notes. Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now they're getting instructions to do something particular to remind themselves of something. To take a thought. Not just an act. One thing about taking the sacraments, take communion and things like that, is we've forgotten the meaning. This was a covenant meal. This was to remind them, especially as they begin to get more light and revealed knowledge from God later on, in years to come, that they would do this and remind themselves that they were in blood covenant with the Lord, with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, that they were blood covenant brothers with him, that he's theirs and they're his. Amen. And their status as believers were given to them by him. It was to remind them that he is all in all the time with them, that he can be trusted and that he's already sworn his oath. Thank God. Well, it would remind them, hey, I'm all in all the time with you. It's a covenant meal. What are they doing? They're being put in remembrance. It's being suggested to their memory. They're having thoughts come up and they're new, suggesting quietly to the mind. Amen. If we want to talk about it in just more everyday average, how we talk every day, 21st century vernacular, if you will. We're reorienting our minds. We're refocusing. We're resetting. We're reframing our minds. If you've ever had to use a precision optic or either a telescope or a rifle scope or something like that, we're re-zeroing our minds to think accurately. There's things about accuracy that you could have something zeroed to where it aligns here. But if it fires something as a projectile, it'll hit here or lower. At certain distances, we want to know what our zero is so we can make accurate hits, especially if we're being graded, especially if we're with a group of friends and we're shooting for bragging rights. We're re-zeroing our minds to think accurately. What was this Last Supper supposed to do? Was it supposed to be only taken in church and in Latin and and we've gotten so far away from the meaning, it's become just a religious rite. Rite meaning a religious act. No, it was to reset our minds that to think best friend, blood covenant friendship, to have a best friend mindset that God's made me his blood covenant friend. I've decided God is my blood covenant friend. And as I take that that bread, I'm reminding Jesus did this so his body would be broken for me, and I am partaking of his new covenant. One of the later scriptures says, this is my, or around this same space, and I believe it's in Matthew, Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it. Take all of it. Partake of this. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a mindset thing. It's to be reminded and to refresh our minds. Listen, having the right outlook can take you, and it doesn't take long to do it. If you want some more in-depth practice on this, especially in the areas of personal happiness and day-to-day sense of happiness, go in our training blocks. You can go online to misfittoysociety.com, look in the training resources, and look at there's three of them on happiness. Happiness. Because we can on purpose, not wait for God to have to give us a burning bush or do something spectacularly outwardly, but supernaturally by a decision, he can help us and we can begin to cooperate and reset our minds to, oh, wait. I've gone 3 hours and haven't thought of something good and haven't reminded myself that God's with me and that he's my best friend and I'm his best friend and that this best friendship I have with him is permanent and it's real. And that life is good. Amen. Now, one more thought about this letter from Peter. If his words reset their minds or helped reset their minds and their thoughts, you know, helped suggest to their memories and awake them from a sense of being foggy, or how about just awake them from anything that was trying to keep things dark and have them forget temporarily. Listen, if darkness and Satan, the devil, can't make you completely forget that you're in a blood covenant from God, but make you forget for a couple hours, he'll take it. Because that's a few hours he can just say whatever he wants to you and we're not putting up any resistance to it. You see what I'm saying? Well, if his words, Peter's words in that letter, in that collection of words, giving images and imaginations to them to help, you know, keep their minds sharp and keep their thinking awakened. How much more our own words? If this man of God was sent to give them words to help them be refreshed, be wide awake and alive and quickened and excited. Well, how much more our own words? Well, that was an apostle. That's why he's giving these people the words. He said, I'm giving these to you so you can stay in remembrance and you can have a copy of this letter and you can go back in further times. This is why scripture is so important. It's not just a daily ritual. We're taking something that God has sent through a messenger and we're refreshing our thinking. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God loves me as he loves Jesus, John 17:23. Right. You have made me your very best friend as you've made me the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. These things aren't just to be rehearsed and memorized. Those are good. We'll have them in our thoughts. But they're to be partaken of. There, it's not good just to know the recipe for fried chicken. I want to eat fried chicken. You know what I mean? I don't want to just know the recipe to make a really good barbecue sauce and have it committed to memory. I want to I want to baste that barbecue sauce on any meat I can get my hands on. You know what I'm saying? I want to partake of it. So these scriptures are not just to be memorized or to be kept in mind like we're learning, sports data and stats and statistics. These are to help us actually remember, yes, thank you. Psalm 23:1, the Passion Translation. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. I always have more than enough. Listen, we need to remember this when things look like we have no friends, no one's helping us, and we're financially in a hurt locker. And this is where people who have been religiously, I say the word trained, but not trained in the truth. They've learned some of the right answers, and they've had plenty of training in biblical things, but it isn't helping them. It's like somebody tied a lead weight around their neck and dumped them in the water. They're drowning in bad training. And think like, well, I'm not just going to ignore these circumstances. These are real. Well, of course they are. Of course they're real. That's exactly why God gave us the covenant to change them. If we'll, in spite of what these factual, stressful, unpleasant, uncomfortable conditions and circumstances are broadcasting to us. I mean, like they're talking to our thoughts. They're talking to our feelings. They look like they're not getting better, but getting worse. If we will take what God has said about those problems and those pressure situations, and in spite of how they look, I mean, yes, they're there. We're not denying that they exist. But decide to trust Him instead. What He has said and the power in it will conform and change those situations to agree with His covenant. Abraham could have no children. Sarah could have no children. It'd be one thing if one of them couldn't, but they both were done. He was dried up and she had, her womb had been, she'd been barren from her youth. But get this. God said, so shall your seed be. And Abraham decided to trust Him on the matter. Abraham made a covenant commitment. He shook God's hand on it. He said, okay, that's what you said. I'm all in all the time with it. He believed God. It didn't happen in 1 year. It didn't happen in 2 years. But many years later, 25, he had come into his life exactly what God said He'd have. So what's that mean? If we'll stick with God, what He has said will change how things are in our life. Now, we apply that to big things like big physical challenges. Physical meaning like a long-term bad diagnosis or a lifelong condition or other things like that. But, you know, it'll work day by day, every day. For instance, Psalms chapter 90, verse 14 says, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Let me take that word rejoice and bring it out. The word rejoice means to celebrate. It means to stop and remember and get excited and celebrate. Rejoice. There's joyce or joy and rejoicing. What does that mean? We're stopping and remembering, man, God's been good to me. And He says, satisfy us early with your mercy. Well, Psalm 23:6 says that he said that the goodness and mercy of God follows me all the days of my life. God has made His goodness and His mercy available to us every day. And if we'll decide to accept it and act like it's there, and then believe according to what Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, we'll believe we receive it. We're not seeing it or feeling it with our physical sensations. We're deciding to accept and sign for a gift. Thank you, Father. I have your mercy. I'm so happy. I'm so glad. You want to know what a deep definition for glad means? Happy. Receiving his mercy is our happiness foundation. Lord, I believe I receive it. I have your mercy right now, and I take it. It follows us all the days of our life. That means every day we can receive his mercy and decide to be happy. So we remind ourselves, when we get off the phone with an unpleasant customer and, hey, listen, it's a whole lot better to be a carrier of his happiness and be nice to people than it is to make other people's life hard. It'll make you even happier to make other people happy. Trust me, I've been grumpy to people and I've been happy with people. Let me tell you, you want to know which one you get better service from? The ones that you help make happy. I don't mean do something fake, but just be nice. Be nice, be happy. People will ask you, man, why are you so happy? Like, man, just God's my best friend. And he helped, and I just look forward to wherever I go helping make other people happy. Amen. So, we use our own words to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Let's put that in 2021 talk. We use our own minds to reset and reorient and re-zero our thinking in our minds. It helps us have an outlook and a perspective. Hey, it doesn't matter what comes my way. God's not leaving me or forsaking me. We took a whole hour in our last session, which is now, you can go online and see the recording of it. It's in under the personal stability section. And you can go online, look at that. And man, let me tell you. Oh, by the way, the title's called Never Alone. Just knowing I don't have to feel him that he's right here. That's not the proper order of triage, if you will. That's not the proper order of information that I go by. I go by the fact that he told me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I decide I believe that even when and especially when it feels like he's far away. God just seems so far away. I know. Feelings will flat out lie to you. Your feelings will tell you that you're depressed. Your feelings will tell you, and it feels so real. And those feelings, you know, for some, in lack of, you know, better way to say it, they are real. But it doesn't mean they're permanent or unchangeable. The Word of God says the blood covenant that's written down on paper for us says that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But I got feelings over here saying that he's left me and that I'm all by myself and no one cares. But it says that he loves me as he loves Jesus. So which one's of the more superior real? The covenant made in blood supersedes all feelings and supersedes all thoughts. I heard a man say this one time I'm going to paraphrase from my own way of talking. He said, our minds need a bouncer. Our minds need to look at the idea of everybody coming in the door into our thinking. And if it doesn't line up, like, you're telling me, wait. What are you saying right here? You're saying I'm depressed. I feel down and feel sorry for myself and that God's far away and he's left me and I have to figure out a way to get him back. Hold up. We go to the blood covenant. We get out the scriptures. Yeah, that's what I thought. My best friend, God, my heavenly Father, said that he will never leave me, fail me, or abandon me, or walk off and leave me, or forsake me, reject me. So you're not allowed in. I'm not taking you. What's going on? We're keeping our minds re-zeroed and properly zeroed. We're keeping our thinking accurate. Amen. Now let's look at this and how this is applied. Let's look at a great application of this. And this, go into your Takata Bible app or your hard copy Bible or both is even better. Go to the book of Psalm 77. Psalm 77, And in verse 6, the writer says this, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. That's a really poetic way of saying he was thinking about what he's been feeling. He's had, he says a song. It seems like, man, he's been, you ever had a song get stuck in your head? He's thinking, he said, I'm recalling what I've been thinking about all day and all night. And he's evidently going through some very, very strong situations in his life, circumstances in his life. He said, well, the Lord cast us off forever. This is strong talk. And will he be favorable no more? Will we never find favor with him ever again? Will he never be good to us anymore? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? These are the thoughts that are coming to his mind. This is a person who's in a blood covenant with God. None of this is true. But everything he's experiencing in his life, this is what it's telling him. This is what his feelings are telling him. This is what he sees is telling him. This is what his bank records are telling him. This is what his relational problems are telling him. He says, has God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? He says, Selah, pause and think about it. This is on his mind. This is what his feelings are. Thank you, Lord. This is his whole perspective at this moment. But he says, and I said, verse 10, this is my affirming, my affliction. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. David spoke about being at the right hand. He said, at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What's the right hand? It's the place of favor that two covenant best friends put the other one in. At the right hand, I reach my arm out and I'm swearing in blood covenant. You're my best friend. You're at my right hand. I present you to my tribe and my people on my right hand, on my right side, saying, this is my covenant, brother and best friend. So he's talking about a status and a position where God treated him like it, and he's remembering it. But look what it does for him to remember this. He says, and I will remember the works of the Lord. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. I will remember the works of my best friend. Surely I will. Now notice, it's a choice. It's a decision. He is deciding to remember right in the middle of feeling like he is abandoned. There is no more goodness from God. There's no more help. He's not seeing anything come his way. He said, I'll remember. I'll remember your works. I'll remember that I'm in blood covenant with you. And I'll remember your works. I'll remember your wonders of old. I'll remember your outrageous and generous expressions of covenant love and loyalty. He says, I will meditate of all your work and, now get this part, talk of all your doings. He said, I will think about it and I will talk about it. Now, it seems like there's a tonal shift. There's a shift in his tone here. In verse 13, it says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God, verse 14, that does wonders. Man. And in verse 15, it says, you have, but with your arm, redeemed your people. Just a few moments ago, he's talking about, man, have you forgot to be good to us? is your mercy shut up in the heavens? Is it clean? Has your loyal covenant love been taken away from us forever? Now, I want you to hear this. Now, hear this. Hear ye, hear ye. The devil and darkness, the enemies of your soul, will seek to use our senses and our feelings and arrange things in our life to make it seem as though God and his covenant in our life has failed and is inactive, is no good. It's a lost cause. It's not working. But use this remembrance technique here. And it is a technique. But it's a technique based on truth, on what God has said out of his mouth. And refocus your mind on the blood covenant. Put it in your mind again. How great are your works toward me? You've made me your best friend. I've decided that you're my best friend. You are my boss and my best friend. I always have more than enough. You're taking care of me. I'm in your care. You never, ever, ever walk off and leave me. Listen, you may not know the answer at the moment to the solution to the problem in front of you, but this will get your feet underneath you and help you see things in the proper perspective to where you're looking at it going, man, a few moments ago, I thought it was all gone and all over. But now, I remember that my best friend's with me. And everything's going to be all right. He's taking care of me. Amen. Listen, then he remembered. He said, I will remember. Then he reminded himself. He reoriented his mind. He re-zeroed, like, oh, yeah, I'm on your right hand. I'm in blood covenant with you. You are treating me as your special best friend and blood brother. And all the benefits that come with that. I want you to hear it said this way. He put new thoughts in his mind that refreshed him. Sometimes we need our thinking refreshed. We've been thinking so. Negative is too big of a vague word. We've been thinking so down, we're going along, we're flowing downstream with the anti-covenant thoughts in our mind, the anti-best friend. What do you mean anti-best friend? Well, how about this one? Well, it isn't working. I mean, you had a nice emotional moment because you wanted it to happen, you know, where Brother Duke talked about, you know, some things about God being your best friend, but you know, you're not feeling it right now. And it's just over, you know, you need another experience, but you know, God doesn't want to help do that for you. And look at how you feel. It's just so far away. And you may be thinking like, man, wow, why'd you have to get so personal with that? That's exactly what I'm thinking. Hey, it comes to us all. Negative feelings and thoughts and things that are trying to be anti-covenant and anti-best friends with God doesn't make them true. I want to use the word propaganda, but there's a better word for it. It's deception. They are lies being pressed on us. So, dude, what do I do in the middle of that? Too easy. You remember. You decide to go back to your covenant, to notes, to scriptures, to things that you've been told that you knew were from God, things that you are foundational to you, and you begin to rehearse them to your mind. And you use your mouth. You don't have to do it, you know, top of your lungs. Sometimes I've had to speak quite strongly, you know, to reset my mind just because of how much the pressure was trying to get to me. But just even today, just doing it quietly under my breath. And then just thinking the scriptures over and over again. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What's going on? I'm rehearsing. I'm remembering. I'm meditating. That's not a Eastern philosophy word. It's a blood covenant word. I'm thinking about it. I'm re-zeroing. I'm resetting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You never leave me nor forsake me. See where we're going with this? And look in verse 12 again. Look at what he used at his disposal. He said, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I'm going to put something else in my mouth that will drive out all these very seemingly real and painful thoughts of, will the Lord cast us off forever? Will he be favorable no more? I can't think about that and then talk about remembering all of his wondrous works and that my God is the God that does wonders. Do you see what we're saying? Amen, man. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Just make a note of it. I'm going to read it to you real quick. 1 Samuel 30. We've made note of this in recent times and in recent sessions. But it is so crucial and such an excellent example of seeing this at work. I'm just going to read to you from the King James in verse 1, chapter 30, 1 Samuel. It came to pass David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag, smitten it, means to, they struck it. They attacked it and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. And they slew not any, either small or great, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Are the feelings real? Absolutely. Now, let me say this. Are they wrong for feeling this? I tell you what, some religious circles have made it seem that if you have feelings, strong ones, you're doing something wrong. And that is wrong. That itself is wrong. It's not wrong to have feelings. It's wrong to let them determine your destiny. It is wrong to let them decide the outcome. They were very real. And you know what? God never reprimanded him for feeling like this. But we have a job to do. It's not over yet. Now look. And verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Here's a whole lot more feelings. Now it's not just weeping. Now he's distressed. It says that he was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. Now the feelings are getting thrown around. Now it's getting toxic. And there's murder on their minds. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But, end of verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Psalm 23, 1 again. David encouraged himself in his best friend, his God. The one who wrote that psalm. Encouraged himself. What do you mean by that? David began to remind himself of things about God, his best friend, that gave him strength again. He began to remind himself, hey, the Lord's with me. He's sticking with me. He won't fail me. He said one will put 1,000 to flight in the book of Deuteronomy, talking about us as his covenant people. Hey, then this isn't over yet. I've got a blood covenant with Almighty God. There's still more that can be done. This isn't finished yet. And it says, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you, or please, Bring me hither the ephod. It was the prayer garment. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? This is, I mean, am I getting this right? As I'm talking to my own mind and reminding myself that you won't leave me or forsake me, as I'm reminding myself that you're going to be with me in battle and put armies ahead of me to flight, that they'll come out against me one way, Deuteronomy 28 says, and flee before me seven ways. The thought that keeps coming up is to go after them. Is that what you want me to do? Shall I do this? And shall I overtake them? Can I catch up to them? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now he's got new thoughts. Now he, and those thoughts help him see a new outcome in his life. I dare say he's feeling a whole lot better than he was about 20 minutes ago. Amen. Well, the end of the story is he absolutely goes after him. And all his boys who were about to stone him were like, hey, sir, wait up. Hey, we better go. We better catch up to him. David encouraged himself. What did he do? He put himself in remembrance. He reset his mind. He suggested quietly to his thoughts. He rehearsed things and put fresh thoughts in his mind. He reminded. He re-zeroed his thinking. Now, Psalms 147, 21. I'll read it to you. If you want to follow along, that's awesome too. Psalms 147, 21. Did I get this right? 147. I beg your pardon. There isn't a 21. I messed that up. Oh, yeah, sorry. Psalms 145, 21. Here we go. Actually, the 20th verse is so good. Let's back up for a second. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. My mouth shall speak. He's deciding, listen, my mouth is going to talk the awesome acts of God and all of his attributes. Now, vague, religious, way off out there, God, bring it home. I'm going to talk about God, my best friend, who's sticking with me when all others leave, who's given me his loyalty unconditionally, who's kind to me permanently, who thought about me from the foundations of the world, who has me in his heart, and I have him in my heart. Oh, yeah, that's a decision to talk about him. It's a decision to rehearse it. For instance, Psalms 23:4. It says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why could I make that decision to not fear any evil? Is it just mind over matter and stoicism? Phooey. Can't get any more emphatic than that without being a little vulgar. He says, because thou art with me. Because thou art with me. Let's look at it in the scriptures together. Psalms chapter 23. Psalms 23. Listen, because you can't hear it enough, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Passion Translation, which we quote regularly, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Is that valley real? Absolutely. We're in it now. It's called life on earth. He said, I will fear no evil. Are you just being cocky and arrogant? You know, we've had that being accused of, like, if you talk so strong of faith in God, you're just being arrogant. Arrogance is if I'm giving myself the license to talk like this. Confidence in God is if he gave me the license to talk like this. I didn't cut this covenant. He did. So I'm just keeping up with my best friend to talk like this and to agree with him. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Just remind your mind that right now and say this with me. I will fear no evil. I will fear. I want you to think of Omicron variant of COVID-19. I want you to think Christmas time with family. And I want you to think all your expenses being paid on time. And the thoughts that the devil wants to send that those things aren't going to work out. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, the Bible in Genesis chapter 39 says that Joseph was a prosperous man because the Lord was with him. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We don't have to fear any evil whatsoever, for he is with us. Now, we make that decision to believe it, but we remind ourselves about that decision regularly, particularly when things want to come up to make us fear evil. Right in the middle of it, we remind ourselves, I'll fear no evil. This is a decision, like we said earlier. Psalms 20, verse 7. Make a note of this. Write it down. Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now listen, before we get, we're almost done. Time has flown by on this session. But before we break for this training block, we have an ally. We don't do this by ourselves. Jesus sent an ally, a friend. That's one of the great definitions for the word comforter. It means a friend. He said, I will, when the comforter has come, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. John chapter 14, verse 26, write that down. John 14, 26, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, train you, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. He's going to use these things that we've heard and bring them back to our remembrance. I've heard stories and firsthand account testimonies of people just as they were getting started, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit and recognizing things come up from him. He brought back scriptures that they heard when they were children in Sunday school and hadn't thought about in decades. And they were like, where did that come? I heard that in Sunday school. Listen, man, he is the most capable friend that we could have. And particularly under pressure, he is an ally in resetting our minds and thinking and talking and rehearsing the good things of the blood covenant and being best friends with God. That's what he's sent. That's one of his primary roles and missions here to do, is to help us remember. Just the other night, man, I was having some stuff. Try to just push in my, you know, the devil's, he knows strategy. He knows to try to mess with your mind when you're tired and right before bed. And it was doing that. It was trying to press in on my minds. And I just stopped. I said, God, I bring this mess to you. What help me with this. And just like he'd snap your, you know, sometimes I've waited and listened while it came up from my heart. But this one, instantly a scripture came back. It just reset my thinking. It was quiet. It just floated up. And what did it do? It suggested to my mind. It reminded me. What were some of the definitions that we said earlier? It reminded me quietly. It suggested to my memory, and it put me in the mind. It put this in my mind. I said, absolutely. Of course. I began to think about it and talk about it, help me make decisions with it. But he was there. Your best friend, God, lives in you by his spirit. And that spirit is our ally to help keep our mindset sharp, to help keep things, to help remind us, especially and particularly under pressure. Look at David. I have a conviction. Can't be proven, you know, in plain detail, but all the signs are there. I believe that while he was weeping and while he was catching his breath from having no more strength to weep, a thought came to him. A thought came to him. Wait a minute, God's with me. I'm in a blood covenant with him. This isn't over. I killed Goliath. I've been spared from Saul, the king. Time and time again, I killed the lion, killed the bear. Time and time again, he's helped me. Wait a minute. Well, I'm thinking about it. I can go after them. I can chase them down. What was going on? He's being put in remembrance. Things are coming back to his remembrance, and it's God helping stir him up. Hallelujah. Come on, man. And he thinks, and he goes, you know what? Yeah, God, will you? Before he inquires, he encourages himself. Before he inquires of God, he encourages himself about God. He reminds himself, you're sticking with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You're my ally. You'll help me put 1,000 to flight. Hey, wait a minute. Bring me the prayer. Bring me the prayer garment. I got to ask him. Puts the prayer garment on, sir. Shall I pursue after this troop? And God says, go. And not only will you catch up to him, you will without fail recover everything. He said, I'm going. I don't think he stood still very long. Hallelujah. He said again, Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Because these are very real things and they're very strong and very powerful. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Nothing wrong with having them. Some people say you trust in God, you can't have a weapon or you can't have armament or armies. No. Who said you can't have both? I just don't trust in them. I don't put all of my confidence and sense of eternal safety and well-being in the army. They're great to have. What if you don't have one day? No, I remember my best friend and my God. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, just in the last few minutes, says this in the Amplified Bible. It says, they have overcome and conquered. The him who they're referring to is the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself. And it says, they overcame and conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, which was what God did with Jesus, and by the utterance of their testimony, by the word of their testimony. It wasn't all what God did. It was what they said about what God did. You can talk yourself right into continued defeat and misery. I don't know why this always happens to me. I've got the worst luck in the world. Anytime we seem to get ahead, something negative happens. What are you doing there? You're remembering destruction and misery. Jesus said, by our words we're justified. By our words we're set free. And by our words we're bound up like chained criminals. He said here, you'll conquer everything negative by what your Lord has done for you and by what you say about it. Remember, he said, I'll remember them and I'll talk about them. Now, all this that we've talked about tonight for 59 minutes and 33 seconds, Isaiah 26, verse 3, says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Does that mean we can't think about natural things? No, we can go about our life and do our natural things, but it means to constantly, the Passion Translation says this, perfect and absolute peace, which you like to have in 2021 and in 2022, perfect and absolute peace. Yeah, sign me up. that sounds awesome. Those whose imaginations are consumed or filled up with you, they confidently trust in you. We fill our thoughts with the right reminders. While you're making pancakes, you're listening for reminders. Oh yeah, I just want to thank you, God. My life is so good with you in it. Thank you for being my best friend. Thank you for making me your best friend. Thank you for taking care of me. I fear no evil, for you're with me. What are we doing? We're cooperating with perfect and absolute peace. It opens a door in our lives and allows that peace to come flowing in. What are we doing? We're remembering. We're remembering him. We're remembering our best friendship with him. We're remembering that we're in a binding covenant, loyal oath of friendship with him. And that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Isn't he good? Oh man, come on. He's so good. Lord, we just thank you so much for your help in saying these things to us. Thank you for your permanent, unbreakable, never ending new covenant in Jesus' blood. We thank you so much for it. Listen, we're so glad that you were able to listen to this training block with us and to partake of it with us. I get as much out of it as anybody. If you want to help this go to other people and keep helping us, we can't. The mission that we see before us for Misfit Toy Society is too big for any one of us to do on our own. We need teammates to get the job done. As I said in the last session on Never Alone, I am consumed to get this message of God's blood covenant friendship with us everywhere I can take it to the whole world. People have got to know how good this is. So if you want to be a part of that, we're not pulling on you for it. We're just making the offer. You can do that if you want. You can go online to pay it forward on our website, misfittoysociety.com, and you can do whatever God tells you to do. Over the teammates and the people who have generously and faithfully dedicated themselves to helping us accomplish this task and this mission, thank you. We love you. And I love you. Amen.